Welcome to Be Unique Magazine, issue 15. We are happy to bring you stories that will encourage you to rethink, revive, and restore, and help you work today to change tomorrow. Be Unique Magazine, issue 15, is brought to you by the generosity of volunteers and donors. We know you'll enjoy listening. We are just being unique.
This is Megan Prowse reading for Be Unique magazine. 2020, the year of my best self? If you're at all on social media, you will have heard the term or even seen it posted and reposted. People all around us are becoming their best selves by living my best life. Whilst this is a perfectly reasonable, even admirable goal and set behind it a good intention in which to aim high and enjoy the moment, it can, in and of itself, take on an unhelpful connotation, that of needing to be doing just that, enjoying, loving life, and pushing to be your best self. With such a narrative in our social arena, I wonder whether we are entering 2020 with a renewed pressure, further perpetuating the facade of social media as a platform for hiding reality. What's wrong with being positive or with pushing ourselves to enjoy our lives right now? Absolutely nothing. Let me be clear. As someone who advocates for self-love and well-being, I am all for us enjoying and living in the now. However, reality still exists, and there is a need to be able to acknowledge things that are not going well in our lives and feel able to express this. The Living Our Best Lives slogan can give a message that if we are not, we are not only failing to fit in, but are somehow failing. As well as the narrative on social media perpetuating that no one else is struggling, it can cause us to ignore what is good about us already and good about our lives for the need to keep making it better. Have you noticed that with every new year we are supposed to think about a new us? How about looking at what you already have and appreciating this? Look at what you already have and what you've already achieved. Of course, we want to continue to grow, but authentic growth doesn't come from forcing ourselves to change or keep up with others. These behaviors actually make us feel more negative. For us to achieve true growth, we must realize what we are already grateful for and what we do well to see how to move forward. Instead of focusing on pushing our best life and best self, I propose we look at our existing self and start using a kinder mindset, one of being thankful to our bodies for getting us here, to those in our lives who continue to show up for us, to our own abilities and qualities. From there, deciding how to grow more of these, how to keep going with what we have and build on the parts of ourselves we like in order to foster more positive experiences. Have a go at writing these down. Some are harder than others, so don't worry if you can't do these right now. Try to put one thing down and work on building it up on paper. Write down, one, what you appreciate already. However this comes to mind, it can be people, things, memories, your surroundings, things in your home. Two, what you are thankful for that is already within yourself. This may be hard, but it doesn't need to be overly positive. It can just be that you can talk to a friend, what others have said about you, that you like, things you have done. Three, what qualities you have that you'd like to continue seeing, that you'd like to continue to display with others, with yourself. For example, being kind or compassionate to others. Give examples if you can with each quality. We do not need to become different people. We need to discover what we already are, what we like, what we want to improve, if we feel so inclined, but ultimately to look at ourselves with renewed eyes. So if you were to make any change this year, make it your mindset. Start where you are, start with appreciation, and see how you start to experience life.
2020, is this the year of my best? Megan Prowse is a fully accredited cognitive behavioral psychotherapist and has worked for the NHS in the United Kingdom for many years. She writes and speaks about psychology, mental health, and overall well-being while advocating for holistic health and self-love. Megan is our podcast guest on June the 4th. Visit Be Unique for all the details. That's BUNEKE.org. We are just being unique. Art Matters. Yvonne Mason Sewell is the board chair for Peace Corps, the author of 17 books, including 3 True Crimes, and she is the national photographer for the USJCI Senate.
This is Yvonne Sewell. I want to tell you how art matters. When I saw this topic as one of our themes, I was struck by how important these two words really are. Art matters. It does indeed matter for many reasons. The first and foremost reason is so simple that schools have forgotten about it. Art matters because it becomes part of our history. Now think about it. From the time of the caveman, there has been art. There have been drawings found in caves and stories passed down from generation to generation. Music, plays, you name it, and it has become part of our history. Can you imagine trying to find out fashion, everyday life, royalty, and other things we discovered if it had not been for art? The pyramids, they're a great example of how art taught us so much about ancient Egypt and how their history evolved. Take the cradle of civilization. Were it not for the storytellers who wrote down their words, we would have no idea how things came to be. Art is not just a pastime. It is not just for entertainment. Art teaches not only history, it teaches discipline, commitment, social skills, teamwork, goals, success. When I was in school, I started taking band in fourth grade. I continued through graduation of high school. I became disciplined in my practice, my commitment, my social skills, teamwork, goals, and successes. If I did not show up for band practice, I did not get to perform. I would have to sit and watch the others. If I did not practice with my instrument, I lost my slot. Sadly, we have taught our children that sports takes a front seat to the arts. Schools spend thousands of dollars on sports and cut out the arts. This becomes a sad commentary. Art matters. Art opens other doorways and students become better in other subjects like math, English, science, because all of those things are used in art. When I was in school, writing was my passion. However, I was convinced I could not write, and nor was I allowed to, because math was not my friend. This created a void in my life. Had I been encouraged in my art, my lacking in math would have become less of an issue. Art matters. Art teaches us how to research, how to think for ourselves, how to become comfortable in our own skin, and how to be unique. Art helps us to know that we are indeed unique and are worthy of becoming part of the history of our lives. Art matters in any form, whether we appreciate it or not, whether it is our cup of tea or not. It teaches its own lessons. It is an expression of self, becomes part of history, part of the future. Art matters because it is a window in time that will be lost forever if we continue down this path of thinking that art is not important. This is Yvonne Sewell for Be Unique Magazine.
We are just being unique. The Tumi Baze School by Gregory Nguyen. Gregory Nguyen found Be Unique on Instagram in 2018 and has been donating his extra time writing and researching since then. He's also a great story scout. In fact, he found this story on Facebook.
By Gregory Nguyen. Mawaji Julius is the director of Divine King, a community-based organization in Uganda. He grew up in and was educated at Molly and Paul Child Care Foundation. Julius said, "I decided to help children where I can. What we need is to build up a nice building for them. If we get a chance of having a brick building, that can be so fantastic. Only that's expensive. Before that, we need to reconstruct a wooden building, because now, when it rains, all the children get wet. Most of the books have been destroyed. Our classes are not in good condition, but it's what we have. And our mission is to educate these young children so that one day they can become a somebody. It's difficult for the children to concentrate while studying because the property is not so secure. Many children do not attend the village school because they must walk 5 to 10 kilometers to get there. There are currently 56 children in Julius's school. Our school is called Tumwebaze Primary School, which means, "Let us thank him," Julius said. The school is under the NGO Divine King community-based organization. It is found along Mityana Road in Bujuku Town, Bulemazi. Our school motto is, "The Lord is our strength." Tumwebaze Primary School also has a child feeding program, which Julius started in 2012 when he was 30 years old. He has many stories about children who have benefited from the program, including Annette Favor. She goes to our school and is very bright. She lives with her mom, Julia said. When her dad came to know that she is crippled, he ran away from them. Annette's neck can't stand in the right position unless she gets a head holder that can make it stand straight. She needs 360 euros for her head holder so that she can be able to focus well in class. Annette also needs a sponsor for her education. She is 10 years old and in primary two. Donations can be mailed to MAK/14/017, P.O. Box 72462, Kampala, Uganda. You can email Julius directly at shykingjulius@gmail.com and follow him on Facebook. Learn more on Facebook at Divine King Community-Based Organization, Uganda. You can always find this information in the publication, Be Unique Magazine.
Be Unique Magazine, Issue 15, is brought to you by the generosity of volunteers and donors. Take the road less traveled. Now that makes sense. Take the road less traveled. Written by Sandra Miller and read by Mary Brotherton, Be Unique's editor. Mary Brotherton reads Sandra Miller's article about living without regret. Sandra teaches writing at the University of Massachusetts in Lowell. You can learn more about her at sandraamiller.com.
The road less traveled is an idiom that has bounced around for decades, but sadly, not enough young people are taking it as they head into adulthood. Paraphrased from a line in the Robert Frost poem, "The Road Not Taken," the road less traveled conjures the image of a young person acting independently, free from conformity and making bold choices, or even risky ones. It sounds exciting and can lead to spectacular successes or failures. Most prefer the safe path, with a 4-year college degree becoming almost cliche as the most secure way to progress in life. Other conventional routes include getting a job right out of high school or a training program leading to a career. College is still a great gateway to your future. Whatever you do, don't let society prevent you from taking the less traveled road. There is no better way to learn about yourself. Take the road less traveled. Follow your heart wherever it leads. The safe path is an absolute danger to the quality of your life, your development and potential, and to the wealth of your memories. Being spontaneous, courageous, and zestful can lead to extraordinary experiences, that will make your life far richer than it otherwise would be. As you teeter on the threshold of adult life, having this golden chance will never come again. Use your voice and be big in the world. This is your chance to show who you are and to decide in which direction you want to start in. Don't feel guilty. Own your voice to reject what doesn't feel true and right, and then consider what you're passionate about, what enthralls you. Go for it then. Don't wait to have time for it later. Otherwise, that time might not come as life's conformities start coming at you in waves, all before you took the grand opportunity to explore and discover more of yourself. Don't worry about choosing wrong. You can change your mind again, and then again. Life is fluid. Jump streams, change paths, until you find the one that's singularly yours. While you're looking for your path, you can also stress a little less. Getting A's in college is commendable, but grades aren't the real stuff of life. That comes with impromptu adventures and midnight escapades, meeting new people, even messing up a little. These are some of the best years of your life, and there's a lot of fun to be had and things to discover, including yourself. Cram less, live more. Do not look back with regrets. Sometimes, taking the road less traveled may create the impression you're running away. But this is all part of your search to find yourself apart from your family. The right thing is being you, and the journey is about discovering you. Whatever road or roads you take, don't worry about wrong turns. Just keep living forwards, not backwards or sideways. You'll find your way, in part, by stumbling into your truth down the road. Every step, every mistake, every regret, and every moment of incalculable joy is essential to this journey you are on. For Be Unique Magazine, I am Mary Brotherton.
Be unique. 2020. Is this the year of my best? Michelle Schaefer, known as Veggie Shell, is Be Unique's magazine premier writer on the vegan lifestyle. She travels worldwide from her home in the USA. On November the 5th, Michelle is our guest on Be Unique Radio. You can learn more at beunique.org. Click What We Do and you'll find the radio show. That's BUNEKE.org.
In Defense of Heavy, written and recorded by Michelle Schaefer for Be Unique magazine. In many ways, I'm a simple woman. I take immense pleasure in everyday delights like a good cup of coffee, a nice kitty nearby, and a good read. Magazine arrival day feels like Christmas morning every month, so you can imagine how deliriously happy I was when two of my favorite vegan zines arrived on the same day. There I was, coffee and kitty and mags in hand, all blissed out, when it suddenly struck me. What's with all the lighten-up messaging? Images of fruit-based rainbows scattered across the pages of my shiny new periodicals, and yes, those images worked their magic and made me happy. But somewhere around the 17th mention of lighten up, I began to feel a little weighted down. All right, so it's spring. I get it. I understand that lighten up and this is a little too heavy for me are ways of expressing energetic feels. No doubt I will continue to use these or similar phrases in the future myself. But when lighten up is presented as an energy feel metaphor, when it's really a front for a command to lose weight, the metaphor becomes an insidious way to promote diet culture while hiding behind plausible deniability. So, I'm here to talk about some of the ways heavy can equate to happy. Personally, I find great comfort in certain types of heaviness. Let's talk about food, since all great conversations start with food. Despite the complaints launched against feeling too heavy after a feast, I tend to feel content as a direct result of having a plenteous meal. Few things make me happier than eating an entire vegan pizza, followed by a confectionery finish, of course. When I'm full, I feel relaxed. I feel comforted. I sleep better. Let's talk about Jhumpa Lahiri's amazing book and film, The Namesake. In it, the protagonist's husband lovingly presses her tightly against the bed as he breaks the news of her father's death. She is instantly flooded with anxiety and emotions. He gives her something substantial to press those emotions into. The scene reminded me of how much more relaxed I feel with a bulky x-ray protectant on for the duration of any dental visit, whether I'm getting x-rayed or not. And let's not forget, weighted blankets are all the rage for a reason. Most importantly, though, let's talk about what these Lighten Up articles are really talking about, and that is human body weight. Sideways Marketing will want you to believe a magazine's Lighten Up messaging has nothing to do with its weight loss product promotions. But, ha! You're too smart for that. You're reading Health at Every Size by Dr. Linda Bacon, and you know the only thing you need to lighten up on is your intake of marketing nonsense. And you're heavily putting your foot down on that one. So, what weighty matters make you happy? A deep conversation? Your 20-pound cat taking a nap on your head? Eating the entire tofurkey all by yourself? We want to know, so tell us. This is Michelle Schaefer reminding you to always be unique.
Joe Thompson's Art, written by Catherine Kenwood and read by Lynn Carroll. Catherine Kenwood lives with her rescue dog, Percy, and three old cats that Percy rescued as kittens. Lynn is, amongst many other things, the secretary for the Board of Peace Corps, Incorporated.
This is Lynn Carroll, reading for Be Unique magazine. Joe Thompson's Art by Catherine Kenwood. Photos by Mary Brotherton. If you walk into the Merritt Island, Florida Public Library, one of the first things you'll notice is a sculpture made with 400 wrenches, 26 keyboards, and 20 cell phones. It's called Preparing to Shrug and was created by Florida eco-artist J.L. Thompson, who also owns a construction company that benefits from his creativity and attention to detail. When he began creating his sculptures, he had no budget for supplies, so he salvaged. Then, someone traded him a welder for unpaid rent, and his art took on a new life. I'm always building something. Every piece is an original. I started with yard art, then went upscale. One of his better pieces was created with 25,600 soup spoons and was sold to a restaurant in nearby Melbourne, Florida. A smaller and different version of this hangs in his kitchen, which is filled with other original art he has kept. His art has been commissioned and recognized throughout the United States. I've found venues to sell my art, Joe said. Some of those venues include high-end green markets in West Palm Beach, Florida. I raised 4 kids selling my art. Joe was not formally educated as an artist, so his style is authentic and unique. He credits his originality to being self-taught and following his own path. Art should make us feel, or maybe inspire us in some way. Good art always triggers something, he said. He has created life-size sculptures from driftwood and miniatures from old watches. He said that he has found his materials while taking a walk, or he has gone into pawn shops or other second-hand retailers looking for specific items, like the keyboards and wrenches used in the large sculpture in the library. Visit his website to learn more. JoeThompsonArt.com. For Be Unique magazine, this is Lynn Carroll. Thank you for listening.
Be Unique magazine editor-in-chief Mary Brotherton shares her thoughts for this issue and encourages everyone to enjoy life. Be sure to visit BeUnique.org for things you can't hear in the audio version. That's BeUnique.org.
This is Mary Brotherton, reading for BeUnique magazine. Do you remember being a child and banging pot lids together or hitting a pan with a spoon? Remember how much fun it was and how you reveled in the sheer noise you alone created? Do you remember the feeling when someone bigger than you took the music away or told you to stop making so much racket? I think sometimes adult exuberance is the same thing to other people. I see the way people scowl when they see the color of my hair, and I've actually been told to use my inside voice, even while I was outdoors. Sometimes it's just too hard to hold in life's excitement. Some of us never outgrow the need to make our own music. And in fact, the more metal pots and wooden spoons there are making a cacophony, the happier we are. Even if the music isn't ever heard by anyone else. Even if the music isn't music. I say, make your own kind of noise. We don't need to be big people here at BeUnique. And we don't need an audience watching us. Metal pots and wooden spoons aren't required, nor are they discouraged. The child inside me loves messy finger paints, raucous noises, and dancing with abandon. As long as I don't get so dizzy that I fall down and break something. Some days I love the noise, whether or not anyone else understands my song. There are days I want to make my own music, and on others, I'm content to listen to it, or I might dance to no music at all. The best part about life is knowing we can join in at any time, and the universe doesn't care how much noise we make or if we want to be silent. The universe wants us to participate wherever and however we can. So, wherever you are on your journey, don't worry about what the big people say. I say, just enjoy your own music. For BeUnique Magazine, this is Mary Brotherton. Thank you for listening.
We are just being unique. Make it yummy, make it smart. Written and read by Martin Strain. Martin Strain is an activist and former actor who uses poetry to highlight world issues. His books are available at Amazon. You can follow him on social media at Official Martin Strain.
This is Martin Strain with BeUnique Magazine. A bird's chorus breaks the silence of dawn. Waves of sunshine pour from the blue sky, bedroom window. Eyes flutter as you wake from your bed, your cotton pajamas warming you from the morning chill. The scent of warm, hot java fills the house while you stand on your porch looking out into the neighborhood. Beyond your emerald grass and white picket fence, your neighbor mows his grass and waves. Blue skies, green grass, and apple pie are images that evoke the American dream, something many people wish to accomplish, both here in the U.S. and abroad. Vanja Gerbic, a Bosnian-born immigrant, aspired to achieve the American dream, to obtain her version of success, regardless of what class she was born into or where she was from. She wanted to live in a society where taking a risk and hard work could lead to her dreams. Living in Bosnia was challenging and dangerous, with bombs exploding, buildings crumbling, and fear gripping her very existence. Living in a war-torn country means going without the things we take for granted every day, like electricity, water, and even food. But those horrific conditions didn't break Vanja. Instead, they gave her a greater appreciation for life and a drive to succeed. Vanja explained, "Going through something like that has made me appreciate life so much more. I seize every opportunity that comes my way, and I am extremely appreciative of it. I want to see the world be a better place, and I want to make people happy. That's what drives everything I do." At 15 years old, Vanja left that dangerous life behind and came to the U.S. Although she didn't speak English, she practiced every day and worked hard to overcome the difficulties of transitioning to a brand new life. Vanja proved to be an unstoppable force working hard to finally achieve her dreams. In true entrepreneur spirit, she dedicated her life to working towards everything she loves. She models, works in medical sales, and started her own dance company, Vanja Dance LLC, which specializes in many variations of dancing, including belly, samba, fire, and Bollywood, as well as stilt walking. After being vegan for 8 years, Vanja focused her energy on another passion, veganism. She started her own YouTube channel, Vanja's Vegan Voyage. Her channel specializes in makeup tutorials, cooking videos, and reviewing vegan goodies from around the world. In addition to her channel, she also started the Go Vegan for a Week Challenge. The program is completely free and includes a shopping list, meal plan, and recipes to make the transition easier. If you want to take the challenge, just visit vanjasveganvoyage.com. Her work doesn't end there. She sits on the board of directors for VegCF, a vegan organization operating out of Central Florida, and operates her own vegan baking company, Sunflower Bakery. Currently, her bakery operates online and at local pop-ups, but she is working towards opening a storefront. Like many immigrants, Vanja said she wanted the opportunity to feel her destiny. She explains, "Life is not guaranteed, but every day as if it's a gift." Learn more at sunflowerbakery.com and follow Sunflower Bakery FL on Facebook.
This is issue 15 of Be Unique magazine. This is where you can hear our writers from around the world as they read their articles about family and what matters most. Visit BeUnique.org to read our reviews of books and products, get new recipes, click our interactive links, watch the animation, and view the stunning photography that makes this issue special. That's BUNEKE.org. Just being unique. Just being unique. Just being unique.
Word to Your Motherboard, written and recorded by Michelle Schaefer for Be Unique magazine. Diet, exercise, meditate. We've heard it all, and we've been meaning to do it, honest. But we never seem to be able to because, you know, life. If only there were a way for us to feel happier, more patient, and more joyful without sitting in a circle with folks we don't relate to, chanting Om, donning Lululemons, and trying not to fart. Don't get me wrong. I'm into an occasional shot of wheatgrass. I consider exercise therapy, and I am able to enjoy a meditation circle. But years ago, I found something that would forever change the way I relate to the world. This little trick has made my life exponentially better. It's something I can do naked in bed, fully dressed at the office, or while strolling through the grocery store pretending to be normal. The best part is that this little trick is all in my head. I started out with a mantra I'd read. Every day, in every way, I am getting better and better. It was supposed to help, but it took my stomach in knots. I discovered quickly that lying to myself didn't make me feel good. Imagine that. Other prepackaged mantras had a similar effect, with the beautiful exception of the Buddhist May I mantras. The Buddhist May I mantras start with self and emanate out. May I be kind, generous, patient, compassionate, joyful, forgiving, etc. To may my best friend be kind, generous, patient, and all the way out to may my worst nemesis be kind, generous, patient, and so on. You get the idea. The may I feels to some like asking permission, but to me, it feels like setting the course. I finally decided to write my own self-chatter script blended with may I mantras that I kept tucked away in my journal, my pocket, and eventually the motherboard, my brain. These days, my mantra for life is gratitude, joy, and blessings. I say namaste about 1,000 times a day in my head. Healing, health, and wholeness plays on repeat when anyone is sick or injured, as does peaceful transition when someone dies. Bless that baby or killed animals on the road, and reminders such as, I am a Buddhist, a feminist, and a healer. May I integrate wisely and be mindful. Work well when I run into sexist a-holes. As I start the car engine, I say, may I cause no harm. May I give and receive good mojo. My every morning starts with, may I emanate and radiate loving kindness and joy. So do your gorgeous self a favor this year and write yourself a new brain with verbal staples to run through your head throughout the day. You won't believe how much better life will get. You have my word. This is Michelle Schaefer reminding you to always be unique.
On Being Me, written and read by Anna East. Anna East is a world-traveling blog-writing documentary-making conservationist. Be sure to follow her in all her adventures and all the Be Unique volunteers on social media. You can find their links in the magazine.
On Being Me, I've often been afraid to be who I really am, because it means that I'm different from what society wants and approves of. And it means I'm not the perfect, sunshine, loved girl that I've always appeared to be. The one that I felt so much pressure to always be. It has been this image that has turned me into walking and talking as a representative of myself. I'm afraid of not being that. I'm afraid of rejection for what I hide away. When I was taking a bath today, I used a dark purple bath bomb that my friend gave me for Christmas. It was deep, dark, and you couldn't see through it. I thought it was beautiful, but it looked like how I felt about exploring the messy, sad, and concealed parts of myself. I've always been afraid of it. Not because of being with myself in those depths, but because I was afraid I wouldn't be able to come back from them, that I would stay in the darkness. But after our breathing yesterday, and as time passes, and as my higher self rests a hand on my shoulder, I'm seeing that I have to visit them in order to move through them, and I can move through it. And perhaps what will happen after is that I will not be a worse, less perfect, less sunshiny person. But that sunshine will look and feel different. Like a totally different type of sunshine that I've just never felt before. And even though the sunshine will feel different, I have a feeling that I'll love it. Much love to you, Sarah. Thank you for getting to know me. I wrote these words to a coach of mine after a one-on-one session yesterday. I felt compelled to share them with you. There's a lot of my truth that I never share, talk about, or express. In my journey to radically love myself and to be fully me while on this planet, I need to be and share my truth. I need to know and feel good in the real me. So, hi. Let's start there.
We are just being unique. Coming to America, Now, this is the final column in Trinity's series about how she moved from Trinidad and Tobago to become a nationalized citizen of the United States.
It has been 3 years since I received my permanent resident card, which is my green card. And with your green card, one is able to work, go to school, and also apply for health benefits. During that period, one must stay a model resident and await the time to apply for one's citizenship. Now that's a glorious feeling to me. As I mentioned in my last column, one had was to hold their residency for 3 years before one can apply for their citizenship. However, in the past years, immigration laws has changed and one must hold their residency for 5 years before one can apply for naturalization. According to immigration, these are the documents needed to apply. Form I-551, which is your permanent resident card or your green card, same thing. Application fee by check or money order with your A number written on the back of the check or the money order. You can also pay by credit card using Form G-1450. Form N-100 is the original application form one must fill out to apply for their citizenship. Once the form is completed properly, one must mail it out to immigration. Once immigration receives your letter, they will send you out a letter to inform you that the application was received and is in the application process. Thereafter, it may take anywhere from 3 to 9 months before immigration sends you out your second letter. This letter is specifically informing the applicant about your upcoming naturalization test. The test is based on American history, of course, and one must know their current president and vice president's name and what political party is currently upheld. After completion of your naturalization test with a passing score, applicants should receive their third and final letter letting them know when to appear before the judge to be sworn in. This letter is is usually in group of 50 or more people. The group will have, the judge will have the group sworn in, and then a certificate of naturalization will be presented. All this information can be found just by downloading the immigration app, and that app has a vast majority of information informing you what type of forms you need to fill out, as far as what type of questions you need to study for the immigration test. Well, there it is, my B Unique readers. Thank you again, and this is Trinity reading for B Unique Magazine.
This is issue 15 of Be Unique Magazine. This is where you can hear our writers from around the world as they read their articles about family and what matters most. Visit BeUnique.org to read our reviews of books and products, get new recipes, click our interactive links, watch the animation, and view the stunning photography that makes this issue special. That's BUNEKE.org. This is my story of Green Gables, written and read by Kristen Thine. Kristen Thine is a sixth grader who loves history, reading, writing, and his family, including his dog Tango. He is the youngest writer at Be Unique Magazine, and like all our writers, he donates his skill and time to our nonprofit organization because he wants to help us make the world better, one story at a time.
This is Kristen Thine reading for Be Unique Magazine. My first encounter with Green Gables was on a field trip when I was in fifth grade. I love history, so attending this was an honor. Our teacher, Mrs. Ambrose, was as excited as I was. We would make real soap and play games from the time when Green Gables was first built in the 1800s. We would also tour the house itself, seeing where the family would relax, sleep, eat, play, and host guests. When we arrived at Green Gables, we met the conservation president, John Daly. He introduced the monument to us and told us a bit of its history. I was fascinated as we began with our first activity, making honey and goat milk soap. Apart from the modern convenience and time-saving of using frames in a microwave to finalize the project, it was a process much like the Wells family used so many years before. We then played some games, like hoop racing and marbles, just like the family's children would have done so long ago. Finally, we toured the house. In its present state, Green Gables may not be much to look at from the outside. The inside is shown as aged well. There are efforts underway to raise money to help save, restore, and preserve Green Gables and keep it as a piece of history in Brevard County. It provides a fun place to go for field trips, and a lot can be learned about history when you see it with your own eyes. We have much to learn from our past, and too many of our local historic buildings have been destroyed or lost. If Green Gables isn't conserved, it could well become another gas station, parking lot, or condo. Another one of Florida's historic monuments would be gone forever. Recently, I took part in a live nativity event at Green Gables and played the part of a shepherd. I feel it was a bit of fate that I got to play that part, because I feel that I am one of the many shepherds of Green Gables, looking out and trying to protect it. Green Gables has earned many of my teachers' hearts and their efforts of conservation as well. The whole community is coming together to help preserve and protect this piece of history in our backyard. I'll continue to help in any way I can. I will help stand up for Green Gables. For Be Unique Magazine, I am Christian Vine. Thank you very much for listening.
Just be unique. Recharge to rise. Rise and shine again. Written and read by Rena. Rena is a German-born environmentalist who moved to South Korea to work in the ecology department of a Korean church. Rena represents one of the 22 countries our volunteers call home or their home of origin.
Recharge to Rise and Shine Again by Rena. The new year has taken off, 2020. That actually sounds more like the title of a science fiction movie rather than a number to write down as a date. For various reasons, this year will be dedicated to rethink some life and lifestyle choices. Since the age of 10, I dedicated my whole life to environmental protection, cleaning up a local stream with friends, demonstrating against rainforest logging in Canada with Greenpeace, collecting signatures for cleaner energy production, studying agroecology and environmental protection, detecting pesticides in the groundwater of rural Vietnam, educating students about global food webs, bringing children into nature to cherish her gifts. I lived my dream. Around my 30th birthday, a small voice arose in my mind. Where are you? Where do you want to be? Where do you belong? Where is home? The longing grew, and I left Korea's capital, Seoul, to settle in a rural town where my NGO was working to protect a beautiful small river. I found home. This place is paradise on earth. The crystal clear waters of the stream amidst vast forests on small mountains. My vegetable garden and berry field. My lovely giant puppy. And more than anything, my loving husband. Life could be perfect if it would just be so easy. Of course it's not. The Korean society is brutally competitive. Lifestyles are generally unhealthy. Air pollution worsening steadily. We tried hard to find a niche between all this, to live and advocate for our values while making a living. We lost our balance on our way. These days, more than ever, I feel the urgent need to find rest and new strength within myself. Hence, I limited my efforts and activities and spent a lot of time in and around our house or on half-day outings into the nearby national park with my husband. In the end of January, we celebrated Lunar New Year, one of the big family holidays in Korea. My husband's sisters came to visit, and we spent 3 days together, eating, laughing, watching childhood pictures of my teenage nieces. Blessed times, being occupied with nothing but our family's happiness. I cannot deny it. It feels weird sometimes, as if I'm not functioning properly. Australia is burning. Children in Yemen are starving. Traumatized every day in Syria. The poles are melting. Temperatures are rising. Oceans are choking from plastic. And a new virus seems to threaten the whole world. Yet, I do nothing against it. It's not that I don't care. I do. I pray. That's all I can do for now. I don't know how much more time it will take to recharge my batteries. I know the day will come, and I believe that times like these are not in vain. Much more than our sacrifice, the world needs our positive example. We need dreamers and innovators, inventors and out-of-the-box thinkers, change makers and leaders who care. But we all, each one of us, must take care of our inner balance first. As at the end of the day, life is so much more than functioning. We can only rise and shine when we nurture our inner light carefully.
Be Unique Magazine, issue 15, where we encourage you to rethink, revive, and restore. Anchored in principles and passion, Linda Sutherland Humphrey moved to Tennessee from Florida, where she was a correspondent and columnist for several newspapers. Join Linda on our podcast on September the 17th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Learn more at beunique.org. That's BUNEKE.org.
Hi, I'm Linda S. Humphrey, a writer for Be Unique magazine. I'd like to introduce you today to Dr. Ken Strike. Dr. Ken Strike prefers to have his head in the clouds, but his life is anchored in principles and passions. When the radiation oncologist isn't treating patients, he may be paragliding near his Andersonville, Tennessee home, conquering the challenge of climbing a mountain, sports fishing, hiking, or riding his motorcycle. He admits to being a risk taker. He and three friends journey to Colorado to climb Mount Elbert, Colorado's highest peak and the second highest peak in the lower 48 states. Once, he and his wife, Patty, hammered out a two-seater airplane. "I got my pilot's license when I was 28, said Ken, who at the age of 33, because of a heart issue, could no longer pilot. Now he paraglides a couple of times a week. It's wonderful, just like a bird, he said. Ken, Patty, and their daughter, Corey, share their farm home with 2 dogs, 20 goats, 20 chickens, and 2 cats. Patty takes care of all of that, he explained. She also has beehives and produces honey. His parents, Thomas and Jacqueline Strike, moved Ken and his sisters, Linda and Melanie, to Morristown, Tennessee from St. Petersburg, Florida. Ken said he didn't feel the call to medicine, although his father had been a primary care physician. Dad was a type 1 diabetic. He started out in radiology, and I can remember him saying how terrible it was looking at x-rays all day. Eventually, Thomas Strike developed the following with diabetics. He had a drawer next to his bed where he kept his stethoscope and other items. Many nights, I would hear that drawer open and close as he went on calls. Ken's call to medicine came after a college counselor recognized his exceptional abilities in math and chemistry. I didn't necessarily want to be a doctor, being called out at night with that rigid schedule, he said. I knew I didn't want to be a lawyer or go into education, and I didn't want to sit at a desk. He entertained the thought of being an oceanographer until he found out he would spend long periods of time on ships. After Ken earned a degree in biophysics, he attended Wake Forest Medical School and did 1 year of postgraduate surgery training at the University of Tennessee and soon began practicing radiation oncology. Ken has enjoyed private practice in South Carolina, Georgia, and Tennessee. After almost 400 days in a row without a real break, he retired, but in 2018, Kim came out of retirement to practice part-time at Athens Regional Cancer Center. Here at the center, I can take time, get to know my patients, and talk to them as long as needed, he said. For now, Ken says he cannot imagine doing anything other than helping patients, loving life with his family, and tackling exciting adventures. The first 10 years into this field, I learned so much about the mechanics and numbers and machines, Ken said. Now, it's all about the patients. You can read the full article on BeUnique.org's extra blog.
Issue 15 of Be Unique magazine holds so much more than our audio stories. Visit online to read for free and find animation, live links, recipes, zodiac predictions, products and book reviews, and news about our nonprofit organization. Visit BeUnique.org for the full experience. The Nature of Family, Andrea Malinsky. Written and read by Tony Taylor. This month's cover story is Tony Taylor's debut article with Be Unique magazine. Tony, who is a filmmaker, also took the photos and created the video that accompanied the article. Be sure to visit BeUnique.org to see them all. That's BUNEKE.org.
When I meet 18-year-old Andrea Malinsky at her apartment, I'm immediately struck by her smile and subtle charm. What isn't restrained is the talent evidenced by the paintings she has produced in such a short time. Her works rely on two dominant themes that guide her consistently throughout her life. The ending result is paintings with a calling. A small Venezuelan flag hangs next to the couch where we sit. Andrea begins by telling me how proud she is of her Venezuelan origins. My childhood in Venezuela, Andrea says, is what began my passion to paint. She discovered this 2 years earlier at the age of 16. Upon completion of her very first lesson in painting, Andrea realized she had experienced something almost supernatural. Andrea continued studying painting, eventually realizing what it was influencing her now obsessive need to blend colors and texture. Andrea talks of her time in Venezuela, growing up in a home with a supportive family, and she emphasizes the close ties formed with her father and older sister. Andrea describes her family as the foundation from where the inspiration for painting persists. Like family, the other influence pushing Andrea to paint also began in Venezuela. As a young girl, Andrea took long walks to the Venezuelan forest with her father. Hidden under leaves on their winding trails, her father pointed to the trees above and the mountains in the distance. On many occasions, he would suddenly stop their walk to hear the sound of a river nearby. Even at a young age, Andrea understood that all of those examples connected to nature. Noticeably also was nature's power. Those memories with her father, deep inside the forest, instilled an inner feeling of peace. Andrea now recognizes the natural environment as giving her a sense of balance for her life. Andrea is now able to conjure that exact kind of sensation when she puts a brush to paint. To better understand the influence of family and nature in her works, Andrea walks me through her latest painting. She asks me to examine it closely. Looking beyond the colors and between the many swirling lines, I uncover the mountains, rivers, and leaves of the Venezuelan forest blended together, forming the full composition. The technique is subtle, but effective. And if any of those disappear, I ask? The painting fails, and that can't happen, Andrea says. Then Andrea reveals the identity of the subject in the painting. The girl in the painting is my sister. We talk more. I learned that as much as Andrea loves painting, she is unsure of what direction her future will take her. However, she stresses the point that the environment is a painting that belongs to all of us. The removal of any earth essentials will force it to fail. And like Andrea says of her painting, that can't happen.
We are just being unique. Wands for Wildlife, written by Jacob Bastien and read by Zachary Frakes. Zachary Frakes, a young volunteer who has recently moved to Florida from California, reads for Jacob Bastien, who uses his time and talent to make the world a better place. If you would like to sponsor one of our volunteers or a story, visit beunique.org. For details, that's BUNEKE.org.
This is Zachary Frakes, reading for Be Unique magazine. Lawns for Wildlife started from a Facebook post by Appalachian Wildlife Refuge co-founder and wildlife rehabilitator Savannah Trantham in 2017. Since then, the refuge has received lawns from every state in the country and from around the world. Because of this program, the refuge has received recycled mascara wands from individuals, community groups, schools, salons, scouts, and even the makeup department at NBC's The Blacklist. Savannah said, "We are also receiving boxes of discontinued wands from manufacturers. We are also now packaging them with educational materials on how to use them and sharing with home-based wildlife rehabilitators and facilities. The recycled wands are also being used for a wand art program. A group of high school students in the National Art Honor Society created an incredible piece of art from the recycled wands that will be on display along with another one done by a summer camp at NC Arboretum. Wildlife rehabilitators use the wands to remove fly eggs and larvae from feathers and fur of wild animals in addition to removing dust, dirt, sand, sawdust, and as well as cleaning the syringes used for feeding the animals. Because the bristles are soft and close together, they reduce the risk of potential injury to the tiny patients, especially squirmy babies. Wands are accepted twice a year. To recycle old wands, clean them in warm, soapy water to remove mascara, then dry completely. Mail them with the form found on the website after you check postage and packaging requirements at your local post office. Appalachian Wildlife Refuge also has a wish list of other supplies to help the injured and orphaned animals they care for. Savannah's co-founder, Kimberly Brewster, said, "The response to a simple request for mascara wands has been astounding. I honestly have trouble wearing mascara now. The outpouring of compassion and support brings tears to my eyes. As I read messages, notes, and comments from people all over the world who care about animals, and just want to help. The world is full of good people wanting to do some good." Learn more at AppalachianWild.org. For Be Unique Magazine, I'm Zachary Frakes. Thank you for listening.
This is our fourth volume in our second year. Our new year begins in June. This is our 15th release of the magazine. Be Unique. The Parallel Projects, written and read by Sherry Sather. Sherry Sather connects people across the world from her home in the USA. Her son Justin was featured in an earlier issue of Be Unique because of his environmental and conservationist work. Learn more at fortheloveoffrogs.com.
The Parallel Projects by Sherry Sather. On Earth Day 2019, an environmental science student from Buya, Cameroon, named Paris Forby, reached out to a young boy named Justin Sather in Los Angeles, California. Paris had come across Justin on social media and was intrigued to find such a young child so determined to clean up the planet, all for his love of frogs. He also found it fascinating that Justin had a passion for turning trash into treasures. Without much expectations, Priest sent Justin a plea to help him clean up his polluted town in Cameroon. Justin quickly accepted the challenge. When Justin saw the number of plastic bottles illegally dumped around the town, he knew this was going to be an overwhelming task. Justin and Paris decided to start off with a simple plan. They agreed their first goal would be to focus on the 8,000 plastic bottles Paris had collected on a world litter run that had been left untouched in his yard for more than 6 months. Full of hope and determination, Justin started asking around for ideas and solutions. Because there were no recycling centers within hours of Paris's town, the best plan was to upcycle the bottles into works of art. They put out a call of action, and ideas came in from around the world. now came the hard part, implementing the ideas. Justin, his family, and his friends decided to start completing the projects in the United States to encourage priests to do the same in parallel in Cameroon. The projects became a daily collaboration. The bottles started to transform into flower planters, plastic animals, cap art, earrings, a cat path, and even a fisherman's boat created from over 645 plastic bottles. As word spread on social media, others in nearby countries wanted to join the parallel projects. With more members, it became clear that there is a link between plastic and water pollution. Hudu Hamas of Kijamoa, Tanzania, inspired Justin and Paris to broaden their campaign to raise awareness and find solutions about water quality too. Justin and Hudu, in parallel, started testing the water sources in their towns, and this reminded Justin what he had learned in kindergarten. He had discovered that frogs breathe and drink through their skin, which make them sensitive to pollution and is a reason why frog populations have been declining severely. The Parallel Project's mission is to make the planet safer with less plastic and better water for animals and people around the world. Learn more at www.fortheloveoffrogs.com. For Be Unique Magazine, I am Sherry Sather. Thanks for listening.
Now, that's being unique. Seeing is believing. Written and read by Sharon Black. Sharon Black lives in the center of the United States in Smith Center, Kansas. Be sure to listen to Be Unique Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on June 18th, when you will talk with Sharon about her many talents.
Seeing is Believing by Sharon Black. Seeing is Believing, and for Dr. Michael Furlong and his staff, seeing the smiles and receiving appreciation from their patients after vision correction surgery is rewarding. In the Silicon Valley in Northern California, there are many wealthy people as well as low-income residents. Furlong Vision Correction is located in San Jose, California. Dr. Furlong gives back by providing better vision to those who may not be able to afford corrective surgery. Since 2001, through his Gift of Sight program, he has provided more than $1 million in procedures to more than 160 patients. Each autumn, people who qualify for advanced vision correction undergo the 10-minute procedure that grants them better eyesight. This year, Furlong Vision Correction partnered with Work to Future to find deserving individuals who needed vision correction but could not afford the procedure. Work to Future is a federal program designed to help job seekers access employment, education, training, and support services in the labor market and help foster economic development. In addition to continuing its partnership with local ophthalmologists, this year the Gift of Sight program included deserving individuals who were nominated by community members. LASIK, L-A-S-I-K, is the most common laser vision correction procedure, and it can correct conditions including nearsightedness, farsightedness, and astigmatism. PRK and LASIK are both advanced procedures. Dr. Furlong determines which is best for each patient. Juice Hiragrave was a community-nominated candidate. What was best for Juice was having no migraines after LASIK surgery. Originally from Amsterdam, he is a youth pastor and a missionary. He lived in five different countries before settling in Morgan Hill, California. His vision is now 20/15, and he is super excited about not having to wear glasses. He said that as a pastor, he believes before seeing. After his procedure, he took a bouquet of flowers to Dr. Furlong's practice. Brenda Manzo had worn glasses since age 7. She had moved to San Jose, and through unemployment, she had a mandatory orientation where she learned about Work to Future. Through emails from Work to Future, she read about the Gift of Sight program. She thought it would be a dream come true to not wear thick glasses or expensive contacts. She always had to have a special form from her optometrist when going to the DMV for her driver's license. Brenda went through the process to see if she qualified for LASIK surgery, and she was very excited when she found out she was. Dr. Furlong and his staff are awesome and friendly, she said. It is a blessing not to have to purchase contacts or glasses and just wake up and be able to see. Being a working mother and going back to school is no easy task, but she is. The goal to become an electrician. Seeing is believing, because Dr. Furlong was also a LASIK patient. He said that his older brother influenced him to specialize in ophthalmology, and he then dedicated his practice to vision correction in 1998 and has performed more than 43,000 surgeries. Learn more at furlongvision.com.
Now that's being unique. Now dive into Plastic Free Living by Sandra Ann Harris, read by Mary Brotherton. Sandra Ann Harris founded Echo Lunchbox, a mission-based consumer products company that started before many of us knew about PDA or the massive pollution in oceans. Sandra's career as an investigative journalist began in Vietnam, where she worked as a humanitarian.
Dive into Plastic Free Living by Sandra Harris. Plastic hides in plain sight. We see it popping up in our daily lives, from water bottles to shopping bags, takeout containers, and even in our bathrooms. You wake up and grab a toothbrush, which may be made out of plastic, then take a shower and squeeze shampoo out of a plastic bottle, shave with a plastic razor, open the top of a plastic bottle of lotion, eat yogurt from a plastic tub, and on and on and on. Trying to get rid of single-use plastic items can seem daunting, but taking small, steady steps, eliminating one item at a time, can make the process easier. Here are some tips to reduce your dependence on plastic so you can say goodbye to guilt and celebrate a plastic-free lifestyle. Start your plastic detox in the kitchen by looking through your cupboards and drawers. There are many plastic containers and tools you can easily swap out for non-toxic, plastic-free options. Plastic food containers can be replaced with stainless steel or glass. Instead of plastic straws, use glass, steel, bamboo, or paper. Ditch plastic spatulas and cooking utensils in favor of bamboo or steel utensils. Replace plastic cutting boards with bamboo or wood. Here's a tip. Instead of dishwasher pellets in plastic packaging, return to using powdered detergent in a cardboard box. Invest in zero waste to go supplies. Most of us frequently eat on the go. Sometimes we pack food at home to take with us. Other times we pick up prepared foods at a restaurant. In either case, it's critical to have reusable containers on hand. Insulated cups with wide mouths can be used for hot or cold drinks, as well as soups. Toting an insulated container along with reusable straws is a great way to combat waste. For your food, be sure to have a plastic-free food container set made out of stainless steel and silicone for your to-go needs. Here's another tip. To ensure you have your reusables ready when duty calls, buy a few sets of reusables so you can have them on hand, at home, at at school or your office, keep one in your briefcase or in your bag if you're traveling. Cut down on plastic while grocery shopping. Reusable bags are a must-have for groceries and everything else. Once you've got your bags covered, it's time to add cotton or mesh produce bags, glass jars, and stainless steel reusable containers to your zero-waste shopping kit. These items empower you to refuse plastic produce bags as well as plastic deli packaging. Put your shopping bags along with these other plastic-free tools in the back of your car or near your bike or by the front door so you're ready to go when your next grocery trip calls. And here's our last tip. Ask customer service how to get tear weights noted on your reusable produce bags and containers so you're only charged for the food you're buying. This way, the cashier can deduct the weight of the bag or container from your charge at checkout. Remember, little steps make the way. For Be Unique Magazine and Sandra Harris, this is Mary Brotherton. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Be Unique Magazine. Issue 15 reminds you to rethink, revive, and restore. Be Unique Magazine Issue 15 has been brought to you by the generosity of our volunteers and donors. This nonprofit organization is 100% run by professionals who earn nothing for their donations of time, talent, and treasure. Contact us to discover how you can become a world changer too. Visit beunique.org and learn more about this wonderful world we share. That's BUNEKE.org. And remember, just be unique.